You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. They wanted my cake and eat it too. They wanted it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. And it was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Woo! Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It's like winning, they used me. I'm blinded cause I think I'm getting so huge. I need a shrink, a beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and kooky is cool key. But I'm actually weirder than you think, cause
I'm friends with the monster.
Merry Christmas, and to all you non-Judeo-Christian types, happy holidays to you, too. We love you, just so you know that. December 21st, 3 and a wake up, where the big man shows up. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story about the big man, Santa Claus. So if you have any kids that are listening, first of all, they shouldn't be. Second of all, get them away from the radio. Right? So my oldest was a big kid. He was tall for his age, and he was a really good skater. So he winds up playing hockey. We're living in San Diego with older kids. And I was one of the, assistant coaches on the team. So he's in the locker room putting on his skates with all the rest of the kids, and they're talking. And so he was 9, and they were 11, 10, 11, 12. They were peewees. All right, so he was. He was playing up in California. So they're talking about, you know, Christmas, and he's putting on his skates, and he says something like, I'm going to, and I was standing there, and I said, hey, shut up and put your skates on. And I knew he was going to say, ask Santa for, right? So I went home that night, and I talked to my wife, and I said, Susan, we have to tell him, because if he blurts that out in front of those kids, they will annihilate him. He's the youngest kid to begin with. And then he's just going to get brutalized. So she says, oh, and I said, you know, that's rough stuff when you're a kid. She said, I know, but she said, okay, well, you tell him. I said, okay. So he's doing nothing, and everybody else was in bed, and he happened to be up watching cartoons on a Friday night or something like that. And I said, Patrick and Catherine, I don't know where Catherine was. She was like 2-1 point something maybe. So that means Patrick. No, Catherine would have been older than that. Patrick would have been about 6, so John's about 9, Catherine's 3. All right, so Patrick and Catherine, I don't know where they're at. So I say, I didn't talk to you, and he says, okay. And I said, do you know that there's no such thing as Santa Claus? And he says, yeah. I said, you do? And he says, yeah. His name's Kris Kringle. And I went, ooh. And I looked at him and I said, no, there's no such thing as Kris Kringle. And he looks at me and he turns his head and he says, St. Nicholas? I said, no. No, bro. Doesn't exist. Oh, my God. I was dying. I felt awful. I didn't feel awful. It was hilarious. Like, totally committed to the Santa narrative. So, he looks at me, and he says, yes, there is. And I said, no, there's not. He said, Dad. And I said, John, go get a chair and go and look in that closet up near the top and tell me if that wrapping paper doesn't look a lot like Santa's wrapping paper. So he goes and gets the chair and he goes to the closet and he gets up on the chair and he looks and then he looks at me. I said, have you ever noticed that Santa's writing looks a lot like your mom's writing? Have you never noticed that? He said something like, I never look at the card. I never look at the card on the present. I said, I can respect that. And then he looks at me and he says, you guys buy everything? I said, well, you know, your grandparents buy some stuff. But yeah, pretty much. And he looked at me and just said, wow, I didn't know that. I said, well, let me tell you why I'm telling you. And I said, remember the other day in the locker room when they were talking about what they wanted for Christmas? And I said, I hope I get this. And you started to say, and he looked at me, I'm going to ask Santa. I said, yep. He said, and that's when you told me to shut up and lace my skate. I said, yep. I said, who's your buddy? He started laughing. He goes, oh, my God. He said, Dad, didn't they all know? I said, yeah, they all know. He goes, oh, man. He said, there's really no Santa, but just funny. Now, fast forward to maybe 3 years later when it's Patrick's turn, right? So you know how kids will make comments and you know they've heard something somewhere, from older kids normally. Or maybe their peers that have older brothers and sisters that say, yeah, that old Santa Claus thing's bullshit. So Patrick's asking questions, or he said something that got my attention. And so my intention was to preserve, you know, the fairy tale for Catherine, because she got it right, right? Yeah, she does. So, John's in the bedroom on the computer, and so Susan and Catherine were someplace, and so it's just me and Patrick sitting, I don't know what we were doing, and maybe watching a hockey game or something. And so I said, hey, remember the other day when you said this? And he said, yeah. Because Patrick, you know, Patrick was a savvy little kid, right? He came home. He came home one day with this one. Is it against the law to spank your kid? I said, no. You want to find out? He said, no. I said, yeah, I don't know who told you that fairy tale, but it's not. Okay? Just so you know. So we're sitting there, and I look at him, and I said, do you know there's no such thing as Santa Claus? And he looks at me and goes, I believe in Santa Claus. I said, well, do you know there's no such thing as Santa Claus? And then he looks at me and he says, John believes in Santa Claus. I said, you're right. I said, let's find out. No, I said, no, he doesn't. And Patrick looks at me, he says, yes, he does. And I said, okay, watch. I said, watch this. So Patrick's sitting there with me. And I said, hey, John, do you believe in Santa Claus? He said, yep. I said, now tell the truth. Nope. And Patrick just looks at me. And so Patrick's a completely different kid than John, right? So Patrick looks at me and he says, do you mean to tell me that everybody knows about this except little kids? I said, yep. You're all the stupid little chumps. Stupid little chumps with a big joke getting played on you. He said, and going to sit on Santa's lap and all that? I said, just us having a good time. And he just looked at me. He said, that's messed up. I said, now, come on, it's a good time. It's a tradition. It's Christmas. I said, now, here's why I'm talking to you. If you say a word, if you say a word in front of Catherine and you ruin Christmas for her, right, you're going to wind up at the bottom of the Red River during the winter when it's frozen. You got it? Yeah. So, anyway, Merry Christmas. I don't know what made me think of that story. I've been up since 5 o'clock here, which is nothing, you know. So I made a plan yesterday, and we'll open the program here in a few minutes. But, hold on, I have to yell at my dog. Jack, knock it off. Joe, whatever your name is, knock it off. Anyway, Joe has animal identity issues. He thinks he's a beaver. Yeah, he thinks he's a... I almost used a bad word there. He thinks he's a beaver, for God's sakes. He eats, chews on everything. And yes, I've got him a bone. He'll gnaw on that sometimes, but good God. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah, yesterday, my son, his wife, Susie, and our grandson, Finn, are coming out for Christmas. So they're going to stay here. So I have two dogs. Figure, you know, that it's, I should clean the carpets. Finn's a little guy. He'll be bombing around on the carpet, blah, 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 blah. So yesterday, I get done with the show. I get done with my second show. I do the post-production stuff. I get it all wrapped up. I go work out. I come back. On the way back, I go to the store to get dog food for the beaver. And then I go by the hardware store. I rent the carpet cleaning machine. I come back. You know, I move furniture, I vacuum, you know, make the solution, blah, 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 fill it up, plug everything in, ready, let's go. Psh, nothing from the machine. Zero, zip, nada. Now, I have anger management issues. Never used to, I do now. And my head almost exploded. I was so pissed. And so then I'm thinking, okay, operator error, right? Let's troubleshoot some bitch. So get my cell phone out and turn the flashlight on the writing so I can read it. I read it, check, 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 power switch on, hit the carpet, not upholstery. So we're using the right jet. But it's not that there's no jet. There's nothing. Hit the power button, and what do you get? Cricket. Cricket, 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 like, okay, so maybe it's a power outlet. Okay, let's try number two. Doesn't work. I know it's work because the light's on. Okay, maybe, since this is a three-prong, maybe let me use something that's got a three-prong plug in it that I know is working. Oh, yeah, let me run an extension cord from outside because that's doing the lights. I can see that little end of the light. You know how now it's really cool? They have a little lighting element in the... in the ends of extension cords, so when you pull it up, you plug it in, you know, it's all good. So I, you know, have one like that. I know that outlet works. Plug it in, run it in the house, plug it in, nothing. So now my timeline was carpet clean last night, right, and then carpet clean today after the show, take it back later on tonight. And then tomorrow I go drive up to Sacramento, about a six-hour drive, to go see my big sister, Peggy. And so now this is like jacking with my timeline, and I'm so pissed, right? So I don't even know. I don't even know if I de-escalated. I think I just sat in that, like, anger high, like euphoria, just seething at it. Like, so whoever took this in didn't op-check it. Are you kidding me? Like, what kind of gong show is my local hardware store? So I'm mad. So the, anyway, I loaded up. I don't even drain the fluid. That was my one, like, my striking back for humanity against the oppression of the man. Yeah, I'm like, no, they can, it's their machine. They can drain it. So I'll take my solution that I've used, what was left of it, go back to the hardware store, walk in, they're like, why are you here? I said, this doesn't work. They're like, what? I'm like, it doesn't turn on. Well, you know, you got it. Yeah, it's that button and that button. That's after you plug it in. Genius. The guy says, well, then, so no power at all. Yeah, gee, it doesn't happen very often. I said, well, it happened this one. Okay, well, we'll give you that one. I said, okay, and I need a new bottle of this because some of this is in there. Okay, so they're very nice. And I said, can you plug that one in? Gee, okay, it works. Come back. But last night, I only got two of the three rooms I needed to get done to stay on the timeline. So now, this is my point about this. Is I say this, the Marine Corps culture in me that never leaves you once you have it imbued in you. So I'm laying in bed throughout the course of the night, and I know I'm off my timeline, and that doesn't make me happy. So all of a sudden, at about 4 o'clock, I wake up. When I wake up, must have woke up last night about, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. So this phrase, did you go to sleep last night, pops into my head. Now, you hear that phrase when you, normally when you're standing and being inspected. And the inspecting officer is looking at something that's just jacked up. And he looks at you and he says, whatever, candidate, lieutenant, McNamara, why is your weapon so disgustingly filthy? Well, the candidate, he had to do his uniforms and and then he looks at you and he says, did you go to, and he ran out of time. And he looks at you and says, did you go to sleep last night? Yes, sir, I did. Then you had time. You're like, what? Yeah. Sleep is not a requirement, okay? It's a luxury. And you're looking back and you're like, he's not joking about that. He's like totally serious. These people are crazy. How did I ever get involved with these people? And so the little things that happen to you in life, I've told the story about the run after the birthday ball where our platoon commander, a captain named Rankin, puked. Yeah, they went out and got drunk. And he drank brown whiskey, I can tell you that, because that was the color of his puke when it was coming up. And we ran fast at OCS. You're candidates, man, you're running. So just at the end, maybe the last half mile, we got about maybe somewhere between a quarter and a half mile left. He, all of a sudden, he's in the front on the left where the commanding officer of your unit goes. And there's, you know, there's 5 platoons and the headquarters element with the company commander out in front. Right, we're running, and we're motivated, Marine Corps birthday, it's a Saturday, blah, 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 and all of a sudden Rankin just, he spins out of the run, he bends over, and I'm in the middle of the bar platoon, and we go running by, and he just puke everywhere. You're like, whoa, check it out, see you later, Captain Rankin. And 30 seconds later, he comes running back, puke on his arms, wiping it off his chin, all nastified, all that shit. And as he's running by us, he's going, where the fuck do you think you're going without me? Aren't you supposed to be laying on the grass with ginger ale and soda crackers? What is wrong with you, man? Somebody put a stake through that son of a bitch's heart. Like, what? And it's like those experiences are, and the thing is, they're like totally serious. And that's the beginning of your introduction into the culture of losing's not acceptable. The only way to go down is in a blaze. And that's how we do it. And so I heard that voice today at 4. So what do? 5 o'clock rolls around, get up, shower, get the vacuum. Go get after room number 3, vacuum that thing up, get all the furniture out of it. Yeah, get the carpet cleaner in there. 4:15 in the morning. Finish it up. So now I'm back on track, just to know. But the culture of the Marine Corps, man, awesome. Awesome. And it never gets out of your head laying in bed. Did you sleep last night? Candidate. Yes, sir. Then you had time. Don't tell me you don't have time. We make sure you have time. You know, that's what you do. Anyway, so the United States Marine Corps Band makes it official this morning. Let me read you the email. What a jackass telling your kid. Could you have found another way to let him believe? No, I don't like, you know, kids can be brutal. And I don't want my kid to be that kid that, like, yeah, oh, he's a goop. You know, it's the same reason that when I shit my pants in grammar school. Like, my mom had this deal, like, she wouldn't let you stay home unless you would have an enema, right? So you said, Mom, my back really hurts, you know, where, like, I don't know, the upper middle part. Like, okay, go in the bathroom. I'll be in there. I'll give you an enema. What? Yeah, no, it's probably something in your digestive tract. Oh, well, I'll give you an enema. And you're like, I'm not having an enema. That's okay. I'll go to school. And so my mom's psychology was, if you'll take the enema, okay, then you must be sick. Okay? Otherwise, she wasn't playing that game. Okay? She wanted you off to school, going to watch your soap operas, smoke a few cigarettes, do her housewife thing. Yeah, that's the way that empire rolled. So she had a coercive element, and that was the enema. And so one day I had a bad stomach ache. So I tell my mom, and she's like, okay, all right, go in the bathroom. I'll be in there to give you an enema. And I was like, I'm just having an enema. I'm like, are you kidding me? I might have been in sixth or seventh grade. I wasn't a little kid, okay? I was like half a man. Yeah. So, I bent down to get milk. I don't know when. I want to say we used to have a snack break or something about 10:30. I bent down to get milk, and I literally, I diarrheaed my pants. And so then I sat there contemplating what I should do about it. And the social impact. Okay, so you're a kid, right? You have a reputation as a baller, which I did. And now you're going to be the kid who shit his pants at school in sixth or seventh grade? I'm like, I can't have that. So, like, what do? So I couldn't go in the bathroom and throw them away. Like, surely somebody would know that it was, you know, going to the bathroom and flushing down the toilet, get naked and flushing down the toilet. I didn't really think about that. So I knew that if I went to see the school nurse, I'd be outed. That would be broadcast all through St. Charles Borromeo in minutes. Like, hey, Mike McNamara shit his pants at school. Then it would get through our neighborhood, and I'd be ruined as a human being. So that's why I told my son. I don't want my son to be like, oh, there's that kid who believes in Santa Claus. Ho, 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 everywhere he goes. Come on. I'm a better dad than that. Yeah, I'm a better dad than that. So do not heckle me. Here's another email. From yesterday. So I listened to the third hour late today. Lauren Serrano's grandfather was on the USS Johnson, commanded by Commander Ernest E. Evans, three-quarters of a Native American and a 1931 United States Naval Academy graduate, which that guy's story we ought to take a look into because, as Ohio man says in parentheses, imagine that. How does a Native American get to the United States Naval Academy in 1927. I would imagine those appointments were few and far between. When the Japanese task force appeared on the horizon and started lobbing 14-inch shells at the landing force without orders, Evans turned the Johnston into the Japanese. The USS Samuel B. Roberts, which was a destroyer escort, and another ship or two followed soon thereafter. Evans was last seen jumping off the ship as it was sinking and was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor. Read the book when Patrick brings it back. I know, Patrick, that was like, I had to finish Matterhorn, and then It's the last of the Tin Can Navy, I think is the title. Ohio Man Highly. Last Stand of the Tin Can Sailors. It's about Lady Gulf. And Captain Lauren Serrano was on. And the way this started was, she was telling the story of why she, you know, my typical line is, how did the Marine Corps get on your horizon? Well, my grandfather was in the United States Navy in World War II and was killed off the Philippines. Really? What ship was he on? And she said, the USS Johnston. And Ohio Man, right, listening, goes, bing! Yeah, he goes into, you know, body erection. And he fires off this email saying, hey, Mac, I don't know if you ever heard of this, but, and I hadn't. And he very graciously sent me a book. Ohio Man tends to my morale on occasion. And I will forever be indebted to him for that. The other guy who listened was Will Costantini, United States Naval Academy class in 1985. He sends me an email. Hey, listen to Lauren Serrano, and the book is awesome. The exploits of that ship and those destroyers that ultimately saved a lot of lives, absolutely unbelievable. And I think Will said that guy carried his balls to work in a wheelbarrow. And as Ohio Man said, when he saw it, didn't hesitate. Just turned the Johnson into it and said, let's go, let's do this, boys. And, you know, would you do that? Just like having Ralph Kingsbury on. Would you, if you found out that you had Agent Orange, would you say, hey, I don't blame anybody? You know, I understood what they were trying to do, and I love my country, and I'm proud that I served it. And, yeah, this is unfortunate, but I've lived a great life. Would you say that? I mean, hell, that still blows my mind when you hear somebody. And, again, you know, what he's dealing with is his body being destroyed, and he's living with it. And he puts on his 7th Infantry Division hat now and rolls around North Dakota. And, you know, just no, these examples of guys who step up and guys who conduct themselves in ways that you just look and say, man, could I do that? Do I have what it takes to crash land my aircraft to save my guy? I might do that because I'm inherently a rule breaker. It hasn't always worked out for me, but I might do that one. But anyway. All right, so from Christmas to from Santa Claus to carpet cleaning to the Lady Gulf. Good morning to you, United States Marine Corps Band makes it official this day, and Ohio Man just added this, and the aviators were launching off the escort carriers without ammo just to buzz the Japanese ships and get their gunners' heads down. They sank a Japanese cruiser with gunfire. Not torpedoes, not aviation ordnance, with gunfire. I wonder if that's the last time that's ever happened on the planet. Yeah, that's like John Paul Jones shit. All right. Good morning to you. Welcome to All Marine Radio. Merry Christmas. United States, our motivational song this morning dedicated to the crew of the USS Johnson that fought in the Leyte Gulf. Don't see heroism like that. And I can't remember the statistics on what percentage of the crew lived, but a lot of them died that day, and to include the captain of the ship. So God bless them. May he or she hold them in the palm of his hand and keep that close to his heart.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Yeah, that guy, he's in Guantanamo Bay today. So not really sure what that's about, but we'll read about it, no doubt, shortly. Secretary of Defense James N. Mattis from the state of Washington on the eastern side, and proud of it. Check the temperatures here as soon as they get finished updating themselves. Junior Walker and the All-Stars.
Here we go.
Cindy and 40 in Quantico. Sunny at 53 at Camp Lejeune, partly sunny, and 54 in Granbury, Texas. Big Timber, Montana. Yeah, Montana man driving today won't be with us. Sunny and 12 degrees. Fernand Palm, sunny and 37. Camp Pendleton, sunny and 38. Okinawa, dark, cloudy and 58. Marja, clear, dark, 52. At the home of All Marine Radio, sunny and 51 degrees. Looking for a high of 66. Cooling trend here out here. 66 tomorrow, and then on Saturday it'll be 69. So there you have it. We're going to take a break. We come back. We'll check news headlines here on this Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the one and only All Warrior. That's right, All Warrior Radio Network. You know what? I thought of that. It's a cool name, the All Warrior. Who you were? See, someday I'm going to get into one of those White House things. Mike McNamara, All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. When are we going to drop a J-dam on Putin's face? Oh, that question's inappropriate for here. Would you like to ask another one, or should we move on? Oh, I have another one. When are we going to machine gun the Kremlin? Next. Yeah. Put the All Warrior Radio Network right on the map right there. All right. Stand by for the explosion. Get ready.
Go! All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts with 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, we got to do Christmas bumper music just so everybody knows. So make sure that everybody is in the Christmas spirit. All right. Beach Boys, baby.
Well, way up north where the air gets cold, there's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told.
I've never seen the Beach Boys in concert, but I have friends that have. In the 70s and 80s, they did a whole bunch of outdoor concerts. And they would do them after, like, sporting events. I know they did one after a Padre game.
Just a little bop.
And my friends told me, it's like going to a dance. Everybody knows every song, and it's just, it's fun music. Especially like in Southern California, where they were always a big deal. How do you not like the Beach Boys? Yeah. Part of the culture out here. Anyway, we're going to check the news headlines right now. A story before we even check those that I would offer to you that is worth investigating is a story that runs in Politico today. And I'll tell you, one of the things that I've been disturbed about is it is cold outside. One of the things I've been disturbed about is I don't get how the Department of the Justice, I just got here 2 weeks ago. How the Department of Justice and the FBI say no to the people that have oversight authority over them. Now, this must be okay because they do it and they know the law at those two places. So, I was perusing the Drudge Report today, and there's an article there's a headline that catches my attention. Here's the headline: Republicans quietly investigate corruption of Department of Justice and FBI. Now, that got my attention because I've watched these hearings and I've heard these guys say they just refuse to turn stuff over, and I don't understand. How do you do that? How do you just say no? We're not going to turn it over. You're beholden to somebody, and I will tell you this: when agencies, and I don't care where you are in the food chain, in private business, in government, in philanthropy, in whatever. If you're not supervised, if you don't know that somebody's going to look at what you do, then guess what happens? Bad shit happens. Yeah, it does. And so I've been watching this, you know, and let me tell you, There's a legitimate need for the American people to know to what extent the Russians participated in this election? And was there anything that that rises to some kind of high crime or misdemeanor? Misdemeanor, otherwise known as misdemeanor. The is there, so I, you know, so certainly should the Attorney General investigate it? Yeah, except he was part of the campaign. He may be subject to the investigation. So you got yourself a special prosecutor. Congratulations. But in the course of all of this, I think there's been a lot of questions that have been raised that are legitimate questions. Robert Mueller's supposed to be a Boy Scout kind of a guy, right? And I believe that, or I want to believe that, okay? He's Bronze Star recipient as a lieutenant in the Marine Corps in Vietnam, an infantry officer. He's a lifelong public servant. So, and I think he takes the oath to the Constitution seriously. But the stuff, when you see the number of people that he's brought onto his team that are contributors to Democratic candidates or the Democratic Party, it does raise your eye. To me, that ought to be 50-50. Okay, if we get one of those, then we got to get one of those. Because the public perception has to be that this thing's right down the middle. And so, that was that not a consideration in the interview process? Hey, do you have any baggage? Do you lean politically? Well, I'm a member of the Democratic Party, and I contributed to Hillary Clinton's campaign. Wouldn't that be a yellow flag? I mean, I think it would. You're putting this together, so I'm Mueller's him. I'm his chief of staff. We're interviewing people, and we've got four candidates for this job, and he and I are sitting there talking, small group. And it's like, all right, we want this guy, we want this guy, we want this guy. And I look and I say, hey, Bob, are you concerned at all that these guys were all contributing members to Hillary's campaign and Democrats? How do you say no to that? If you want your work to be above reproach, and the response is, I don't care. He's the best. Our work will speak for itself. I don't know. I think that's the world you want to live in. I don't think that's the world the way it is. And so to me, it surprises me, because I think in order to not have your credibility assaulted when things get questioned, that you're partisan, and they will, you have to build it so that you can withstand that accusation. So the composition of the investigation, that kind of raises a question, right? That's one. James Comey's behavior, like, what is going on with that? There's another one, like Comey. You know, Comey's bullshit, in my opinion. I've seen so much him playing politics out of the director's office, makes me want to vomit. And I'll tell you what, the biggest one was, you know, why didn't you tell the president when he asked you to go, if possible, could you go easy on Flynn? Why didn't you look at him and have the balls to say, Mr. President, I can't have this conversation with you? Okay, because what you're doing is inappropriate, and I should leave, unless you want to talk about something else that's completely unrelated to this, right? Be a professional, but stand up and be the head of the FBI. And his excuse was, I was stunned. So let me get this straight now. So the president clears the room, much in the news is the Flynn thing. His son-in-law or somebody or Priebus, somebody said, do you want me to stay? And he said no. So it's going to be you and the president with nobody else there, and the door closes. What do you think? Like, did you not have a father that cleared the room and then beat your ass? Have you ever not got your ass chewed? So whatever's going to happen next is going to be pretty serious. I wonder what it's about. Maybe he's going to unburden himself to me about his hairstyle, and I'll really get to ground truth about that. Yeah, probably not. And then, quite out of nowhere, the Flynn thing comes up, And Comey stands in front of the American people and said, I guess I was just shocked. I was taken aback. Right. Right. Again, I fell off the truck, but not this morning. That's bullshit. But he had the presence of mind to go down to his car and make some notes. He had, and then instead of contacting the attorney general, because this was such a gross overstepping of the president's bounds, he convened a cabal of FBI guys, and they decided they wouldn't go. It didn't break squelch. So you see that, and now you see the Justice Department guy. Wait. And let me dial it back. Remember when Trump said that he was being spied on? And everybody's like, oh, Trump's crazy. He's a whack job. Ah. Right? And one thing I've learned about him and his tweeting is most of the time when he tells you something, there's a modicum of truth to it. Now, he may twist it. He may slant it a little bit. But most time he leans correct. And so then what? That own guy? His wife's working for Fusion. Yeah. Right? Come on. Like, what in God's name? And the FBI cannot tell the Justice Department, or the FBI cannot tell in closed session the leaders of the people that are in charge of oversight, and the Department of Justice won't either, the relationship between this dossier and the FISA warrant. They won't say whether the FBI paid Fusion GPS for that work. So I guess that's disturbing. Then who is the FBI and the Justice Department beholden to? The political actor that appointed them? The other one of late, Sally Yates is in the news again, right? Remember, she was the deputy attorney general that refused to implement the Trump travel ban. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, guess what the Supreme Court ruled? Sally, did you read that? The Supreme Court ruled that it was appropriate that the ban remain in place while it was being, sorted out judicially. That's certainly a stretch, isn't it? No, it's not a stretch. And so you have these people that took these bold, what were they, political stances? Because they didn't like Donald Trump? That's disturbing. And so all these pieces of data, and then you have, maybe the largest one, which is the FBI agent who must, the big time dude, I'm not even going to go into McCabe, but the FBI agent, I can't remember his name, the guy with all the text messages who changed the language of the findings of the investigation into the Clinton from, right, grossly, whatever, which would have cross the line, that's the language of the statute, from grossly negligent to whatever it was, to kind of sort of pretty bad, which means she wasn't getting prosecuted, which was bullshit. She should have been prosecuted as well as member, whoever cross-decked those messages, and what they had to do was have a classified window open, and then transpose that, be sitting there and type the guts of that, or somehow ever have access to be able to save those messages and then cross-deck it to a different system, because the systems don't talk to each other. The classified system doesn't speak to anything except what's inside the classified system, so you can't get it out of there. The only way you can get it out of there is you can export it. Right, and most of that stuff has all been disabled, and they know when you're saving stuff to an external type of device, unless you have the appropriate permissions. Yeah. Big Brother, she's watching. So anyway, so you watch all that. So now I'm reading headlines before I had the "Did you sleep last night?" moment. So I haven't launched on the carpet cleaning yet. So as I'm perusing, if you're familiar with the Drudge Report, it's in the third column, so down towards the middle. So I'm perusing, blah, 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 blah. South Korea military fires 20 warning shots at North Korean border guards after another 19-year-old South Korean defects. But he didn't get chased or shot. He did a little bit better recon than the last dude. Last dude with that Jeep and the mad dash was awesome. Yeah, you know it's got to piss the North Koreans off, too. I said this stuff wouldn't happen again. So, man, I'll tell you what, how nervous would you be if you were in charge of that sector? Oh, no, I'm next. What route did that dude take? Give me a Jeep. Can I take a Jeep? Yeah, whoever's not doing the six-step in troop leading, your shit might be over, man. So, and that's not a joke either. That's sad. Okay. So I see this. Republicans quietly investigate corruption at DOJ, FBI. And I see it's a Politico piece. So Politico, pretty reputable organization, right? And so, you know, when you click on those links that Drudge has up there, that's the first thing, you know, does it pass muster? And then the headline is House Republicans quietly investigate perceived corruption at Department of Justice and FBI. The group was born out of frustration over the Justice Department's refusal to explain how it used a disputed dossier. A group of House Republicans has gathered secretly for weeks in the Capitol in an effort to build a case that senior leaders of the Justice Department and the FBI improperly and perhaps criminally mishandled the contents of a dossier that described alleged ties between Donald Trump and Russia, according to four people familiar with their plans. A subset of the Republican members of the House Intelligence Committee, led by Chairman Devin Nunes of California, has been quietly working parallel to the committee's high-profile inquiry into Russian meddling into the 2016 presidential election. They haven't informed Democrats about their plans, but they have consulted with the House General Counsel. People familiar with Nunez's plans says the goal is to highlight what some committee Republicans see as corruption and conspiracy in the upper ranks of federal law enforcement. The group hopes to release a report early next year detailing their concerns about DOJ and the FBI, and they might seek congressional investigation. And they might seek congressional votes to declassify elements of their evidence. Pretty interesting, eh? Yeah. We're going to declassify stuff to show the American people the nonsense that we've seen in private session that has not yet been, quote-unquote, leaked, because the leaks only seem to come from one side. Okay? Opponents obviously see this as a way to discredit Robert Mueller's investigation. So, before we go any further, I would recommend that you take a look at that. And because there's too many data points that are disturbing as we as you look at our government. And again, it's got to pass the sniff test, and it ain't passing it right now. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to do Marine Corps news coming up next. There's a bunch of that. So, good morning to you. More Christmas music coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Bells will be ringing the sad, sad news. Oh, what a Christmas to have the blues.
Glenn Frey and the Eagles.
Our baby's gone.
read you an email. Mac, it's interesting you bring this up because I've had the same thoughts bombing around. I'm not the biggest Trump supporter. I will admit, however, that he has done some impressive things in the first year. There's no arguing about what happened in Syria and that the modifications that were made enhanced our ability to be successful there, although I think that event was put on the right direction by John Allen when he was appointed by Barack Obama. I would agree with that, by the way. However, it doesn't pass the sniff test. And it's disturbing because these people are supposed to be civil servants. Sally Yates? Are you shitting me? Question mark. Her job is to implement the policies of the duly elected government that she serves, not to inject her personal point of view. Those questions will be settled in the courts. She so overstepped her bounds, it was ridiculous. Why? Because they don't like Donald Trump. Now, put somebody else in there. Anybody other than Donald Trump, and then the same behavior ensues, we would have their ass. So, I sit here today, and I've never fully embraced these ideas of the deep state and blah, 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 blah that I hear. But I will tell you now, I'm at least casting an interested eye on these things. Because I think Washington is a bit intoxicated with itself when things like this can happen. And you're right, too many of them happen, and it's disturbing. It's not their role. Comey, in my opinion, is a hack. He was in over his head. He got pushed around, and he tried to go out in front and dance and spin. And by the time you see the facts, you see what he is, a weak leader. Pretty uncomfortable feeling today when I look at our democracy. I will say this. It made you feel good to see legislation being passed. Something getting done. And to everybody who doesn't like the direction, I don't really care. At least Congress did something, and they didn't sit there deadlocked. And for the people that don't like it, go to the ballot box, elect people, and then they can reverse it through the same legislative action. The combination of dishonest political leaning civil servants, and in parentheses he writes allegedly, and gridlock are adding to the anger of the people of this country. Enjoy the program. Merry Christmas. Hope you have a great time with your family. Sounds like you're fired up about it. I am, you know what? I am fired up about it. I am fired up about it. You know what? Well said. I don't know that I, what do you add to that? It's too many data points. Right? Too many data points. Email. Padres, was there ever a more likable player than Tony Gwynn? You know, my dad managed the Padres, but Gwynn showed up after he left. Gwynn was in college when I was in college. I saw he was a two-sport player. He was a two-sport player at San Diego State University. And He was an incredible basketball player. He could shoot the lights out of it. I remember him because he was kind of chubby. He was kind of chubby playing for San Diego State, playing guard, and he was good. I mean, he was the man. Tony Gwynn, basketball player. He never, you know, you didn't hear about it until later. You know, I don't know what he hit in college, like he hit like 900 or some crazy nonsense playing for San Diego State, the Aztecs. Yeah, he could shoot the lights out of it in basketball. And then, you know, he signs with the Padres and plays his whole career. And he retires and became the head baseball coach back at San Diego State. And then passed away a few years ago after battling cancer. If you ever heard an interview with that guy, what Ohio Man is saying is brought out in spades. And he talked about, you know, his father was a sanitation worker, and I think his mom was a school teacher. And his dad taught them hard work, respect, discipline, all the things you need. He and his brother, Chris, he said that's why we are where we are today. And he's just a great ambassador, had a fantastic laugh, So, no, Tony Gwynn was one of the, and he played one of those rare guys like Cal Ripken, plays in his entire career for one franchise, which you tend not to see anymore. But Tony Gwynn did that. The news headlines, in addition to, and again, email. Mac, what's that story again, and where do I find it? It's entitled, it's in Politico, right, www.politico.com, and it's entitled House Republicans Quietly Investigate Perceived Corruption at DOJ. Now, if you're a Democrat, you're saying, they're just throwing dirt on Mueller. Maybe. But I would tell you what gives this, dare I say, credibility, is the number of data points that we keep seeing out of the Justice Department and the FBI, where people are doing the wrong thing. People are doing clearly partisan things. And we're supposed to be able to trust them to do the right thing. And I don't know, maybe we're just naive about the way justice and FBI work. Maybe they are a partisan organization. So
that sound you hear is ice cracking around the media narrative involving President Trump. I mean,
here's Donald Trump. Now, I don't play this to be a great Trump supporter, because I'm not. I like his policies. Okay, this is Howard Kurtz from Fox.
And it's melting just a little bit in the wake of the big tax cut victory yesterday on Capitol Hill, with both houses finally passing this sweeping tax reform measure on a party line vote. Now, you know what the media's conventional wisdom has been all year about Donald Trump. Not getting much accomplished. He is picking too many petty fights. He doesn't understand how government works. He's in over his head. You've heard this thousands and thousands and thousands of times. But I began to think recently that this was going to change, not just because I thought the tax cuts were likely to pass, but because there's a thing in the punditry world where if a narrative goes on and on and on, no matter how accurate its perpetrators may feel about it, it gets kind of dull, and somebody wants to say something new. So now you have a reason, because you can no longer say Donald Trump has gone an entire year and he hasn't gotten a major piece of legislation through Congress. That's out. But beyond that, there's starting to be a recognition that, hey, the stock market is almost at 25,000. President Trump might have something to do with that. I mean, record-breaking increase under his first year. Others have also had good stock markets, but this has really been something to watch. He is getting many of his judges through and remaking the judiciary. He is slashing regulations as he promised. Now, he's had a rocky year, there's no question about it, and he's at pretty record level of unpopularity for a president after 1 year.
Hello.
But I think we're at the point now where the media can no longer reflexively say, well, he just isn't accomplishing much of anything. And here's the tell. Yesterday on the website Axios, founded by a couple of Politico founders, Jim VandeHei and Mike Allen, who are read by a lot of other journalists here inside the Beltway. They say, look, President is getting some things done. The media, they write, often appraise presidencies and politics through liberal-tinted glasses, but the vast majority of the Republican Party like or even love these policies. And they say that, well, these wins are substantial with consequences for millions of people for many years to come. Now, it's true also that the tax cut bill is unpopular, as I talked about yesterday, but that could change if millions of Americans feel like there's more money in their pockets. And I also thought a good sign of this was the other day in the New York Times, conservative columnist Ross Douthat, who has excoriated this president. He is not a Donald Trump fan by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay, hold on. Let me just inject something into this. And this goes to, like, trusting the media and things like that. When you hear things that sound different, right, it makes you pay attention, right? And that website, somebody just texted, what's the name of that website? Axios. And if you don't know Howard Kurtz, he does, he used to be on CNN, and he did he covered the media. And so he's kind of an interesting guy, because he pays attention. Yeah, it's Axios, AXIOS.com. When something changes, you know, in my opinion, it breaks squelch, it catches your eye, you know. And so for people, you know, there's some people that would never say a nice word about either. Some people never, and I used to say this years ago, if you can't say Bill Clinton's a good politician, then you should not be allowed in the discussion. Bill Clinton was a great politician. Now, as a human being, he struggled mightily. But as a politician, he was tough. He was good. I mean, he charismatic guy. People loved him, said the right things, knew how to work it. Yeah, Bill Clinton. So to me, that's one of the problems with adults in our society is that we can't sit down and have a grown-up discussion and say, yeah, I agree with that. Nah, I don't think that's completely right, and I disagree with it. We can't do that anymore. It is so burn it down now. It's crazy. So to me, I enjoy watching Howard Kurtz. He gets to the truth, and that's the thing. That's, again, hopefully if Allman Radio is committed to one thing, it's the truth.
Shin wrote something that I've been thinking about but couldn't quite put together, which is, how is it the president has gotten barely any credit, and it hasn't even been much of a news story, for the fact that over the last year, ISIS has been decimated? Now, the U.S. doesn't get all the credit. Iraqi troops have helped push the caliphate out of that country. It isn't doing well in Syria.
Okay. The only reason the Iraqi troops made that progress was because of American fire support. If it wasn't for that, they would still be bogged down in that fight, without question. The Iraqi troops are not the caliber that are going to run them out in a gunfight.
Either. And ISIS is not completely done. Occasionally it will still be able to make isolated terrorist attacks or inspire attacks by lone wolves. But this is quite an accomplishment. I mean, ISIS, you know, was a major issue in the 2016 campaign. It was a major issue in Barack Obama's presidency. And again, you can debate how much credit Donald Trump deserves, but Douthat makes the case that the media are so invested in a narrative of Trump failure that they forgot to notice that, hey, ISIS has been substantially reduced as a force and as a terrorist threat. So this may not last. There obviously will be other battles to come. We'll have to see how the tax cut plays out and all of that. But for the first time, really, since he took the oath of office, there's starting to be a little bit of media recognition that for whatever mistakes and screw-ups and diversions there have been, the Twitter feuds and all of that, this president is compiling, whether you agree or not, a pretty consequential record.
Howard Kurtz there. And you can find his stuff. Again, I tend to gravitate towards guys who can actually say things like Bill Clinton is a formidable politician. I'll freely acknowledge that. You know, So it's those kind of people that go ahead and to me catch my eye, because they're again a step closer to the truth. All right, Marine Corps headlines. There's some interesting ones. We're going to do a little work on this here in the not-too-distant future, but op-ed, building a force of foreign-born Marines is key to the Corps' future, all right, by Major Matthew Peterson. If I'm not mistaken... Major Peterson was a company commander with 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines in Sangin when I was there, when they were not doing very well. In 2010-2011, he is now the OPSO at Marine Barracks, Washington. A version of the commentary first appeared in the Marine Corps Gazette. So we'll endeavor to get Major Peterson on. But his contention is, kind of like the French Foreign Legion, building a force of foreign-born Marines is key to the Corps' future. Okay? Why? Why is that key? Can't we do that now? Don't we do that now with advisors? We almost do it now. We almost did it in Vietnam. We're there to advise, though, not lead. So the concept is, let me read you a couple paragraphs. Marines engaged around the world today are superior to their opponents in nearly every way. They possess more advanced technology, greater numbers, better weapons, logistics, medical care, transportation, fire support, and air power. But history is full of examples of larger, better-equipped conventional forces suffering defeat at the hands of a smaller, unconventional opponent who uses superior cultural knowledge to blend in among the population and exploit relationships. To locate, close with, and destroy the enemy by fire and maneuver is not enough in irregular conflict. Marines also need an expert knowledge of language, politics, power, physical environment, religion, economics, ethnicity, and history. This level of understanding does not exist within the Marine Corps and cannot be taught. But without it, Marines cannot win. It's a challenge the Marine Corps has faced across its history of engaging around the world in irregular, population-centric conflicts that aim to defeat ideologies. Referring to irregular conflict in Vietnam, Lieutenant General Victor Krulak observed, an idea cannot be defeated with a bullet. It can only be beaten with a better idea. Decades later, an advisor to General David Petraeus, Army Sergeant Major Marvin Hill, echoed Lieutenant General Krulak's sentiment when he said about Iraq, you can't shoot your way out. You can't kill your way out of an insurgency. You just can't. You have to find other kinds of ammunition, and it's not always a bullet. And then he makes his assertion for his thesis, right? In order to fight and win future conflicts, the Marine Corps should form an irregular warfare regiment, or IWR, consisting of foreign and American-born Marines, and tasked with supporting U.S. military operations around the world. Interesting. And then he talks about his experience in Afghanistan with 3-5. Then he talks about how the regiment would be constructed. And I'll just read you the last two paragraphs. What advantage might a battalion commander conducting security operations training in Kuwait be able to leverage if he has a company of Marines born and raised there supporting his mission? What deadly missteps might be avoided if Syria is the commander? If in Syria, the commander of a Marine expeditionary unit is advised by Marines born and raised in Aleppo. What if the target population of information operations was represented organically in the unit conducting them? Who better to engage with a population after a lethal incident of collateral damage in a Marine from the area who not only knows the language and culture, but is also trained in information operations. The enemy we face on a regular battle in irregular conflicts already is unable to contend with American forces on conventional battlefields. If his sanctuary and advantage in irregular human terrain is also taken away from him, would he not then be on the proverbial horns of a dilemma? I didn't read that very well, but the so interesting. Does that manpower count against end strength? Huh? So if we do that, do we lose the West Coast ban? That's what you get into. That's the discussion. Where does it come from? Where do those Marines now come from? A story about South Korea fires warning shots after another soldier defects. So the latest soldier defects in an unoccupied area of the border, a stretch, and not a shot was fired. And then I guess when soldiers started to pursue him, South Koreans fired 20 warning shots from a machine gun. That's about seven. Seven. 5 to 10 round bursts, machine gun gunnery. Which I guess made them stop their pursuit. Not like it was the last one. So, you know, what is really incredible is what's come out of that. Just the physiological forensics, although he's not dead, of that guy who made that mad dash that we all watched on TV. Tapeworms in his stuff, you know, it's just disgusting stuff. And he's the military probably living better than most people. Yeah. It's just disgusting. You know, and again, you would, 21st century, you know, we're still dealing with gangsters who somehow or other get control of a country. And, you know, Putin, you know, and his gangster-like behavior in Russia. Amazing. So, and, you know, again, I said it the other day, but I got an interesting email about it. Somebody listened when I was talking to the interview. If you haven't listened to the interview by Ralph Kings that I did with Ralph Kingsbury, listen to it. He was in the United States Army. He was originally originally he's from North Dakota. I knew him as a writer and economist. And then as I had him on my other show the other day to talk about a letter that he wrote about taxes. And so I didn't even know he was a veteran. I don't think. So he talked to me about, you know, he's having issues with Agent Orange related physical problems. And he told me he had a heart attack when he was 44 years old and blah, 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 blah. But it's one of the most humbling interviews. It's one of the most humbling interviews I've ever heard in my life. And And he talked about being in Korea, and in between 66 and 69, when they had the DMZ battles, and the number of South Korean soldiers, American soldiers, and I'll give you a rundown on the casualties. Yeah, the casualties are amazing. This is just in from the Associated Press. Three opera singers and a classical music accused. Not sure what that is. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. Three opera singers and a classical musician accused See, I thought it was opera. So it was, I thought it was, what's an accuse? I didn't even know what that is. Accuse, world-renowned conductor Charles Duteau, D-U-T-O-I-T. Conductor Charles Duteau of sexually assaulting them in separate incidents between 1985 and 2010. It continues, and it's not going to stop. Okay, so let me just read you the casualty figures in the DMZ during this period of time. And then listen to that when you get a chance. Casualties and losses. South Korea, 299 killed, 550 wounded. United States, 43 killed, 111 wounded. North Korean losses, 379 killed, 12 soldiers and 2,462 quote-unquote agents were captured in the DMZ, you know, agents being somebody not in military uniform, trying to get through the DMV to conduct operations in South Korea. So that gives you some. I had no idea. I had no idea. So, anywho, make sure you listen to that. The headline. Another headline, Marine Corps Times. U.S. troops to repaint in Iraq and Syria for foreseeable future. You think? Thank God. Thank God. But again, the groundwork for this being a non-story is the fact that we had suffered a lot of casualty. That the way guys like Joe Dunford and Secretary Mattis and have prosecuted that, especially in such a kinetic time that we're not taking a lot of casualties, is the reason that that story's not even going to get mentioned on anybody's news today. Okay, but it needs to happen. The other thing we're going to do is a change, a thing about how you should choose between the retirement systems that are now being offered in the military. Pretty interesting choice that people have to make. It's nearly 2018. Are you ready to decide? This is an article in the Marine Corps Times. Are you ready to decide whether to jump into the new blended retirement systems? More than 1.6 million service members are eligible to make that choice about their future, which goes into effect on January 1. And while the Department of Defense offers mandatory training for those eligible, backed up by service-specific education programs, a recent survey found about half of those who thought they were allowed to switch didn't understand it, and that's a shocker. So here's some basics, right? Blended Retirement System 101, it's called. What is the BRS thing that I keep hearing about? It's a combination, a blend, of legacy retirement system and some new features like the legacy setup. It provides monthly retirement pay after at least 20 years of service, but not as much of it. That should get everybody's attention, right? Beyond that difference, there are three key ways that BRS and the existing setup part company. BRS members receive matching thrift savings plan contribution from the Defense Department, which can be as high as 5% of monthly base pay, depending on how much they contribute to their TSP accounts. After the 12-year mark, BRS members can receive continuation pay in return for a commitment to serve an additional 4 years. Think of it as a retention bonus, right? Instead of waiting for a monthly check, retirees under BRS can opt for a partial lump sum payout. Not sure that's a good thing or bad, but it's an option for you. If I stay in for 20 years under BRS, can I still get a monthly retirement pay? Yes. But it is 20% less than what you get under the legacy system. does it affect my retirement benefits like medical and commissary? It does not. So we need to peel it back a little bit. So what's the upside of this? What is the upside of it? Well, I mean, like all 401k plans, what you're going to get sold is that you have a chance to control the investments of your money. There's more upside if you participate. The problem is a lot of people stop participating and then that chunk stops growing. So if you in fact participate, it's a great deal. If you don't participate, then it's a worse deal. Right. I would say great. It can be a better deal than your legacy plan. There's more safety in legacy plans. I would say take the sure thing. Unless you're in a financial position where you can exploit the blended system, if you're just a normal family, don't switch. If you're a family who and your spouse works and you're financially comfortable with pretty decent savings account, then you should switch and you should use the match and you should leverage that and you'll make more money. I hope that makes sense. There's a little free financial advice for you. Remember, advice is what you pay for. The Pentagon, let's see. How about this one? Transgender recruits now have official DOD rules concerning their underwear. So you see that. Pentagon has published new guidance for all military processing commands, MEPs, on how examiners are to treat and evaluate transgender recruits if current court rulings hold and allow enlistment on January 1. The 7-page guidance gives detailed instructions on how recruits should be treated along the way, including providing private examination areas where possible and even outlining guidance on underwear. It also includes a major change to the initial recruiter interview, directing recruiters not to screen out potential enlistees based on any initial information they provided on a pre-medical screening report. Other directions address how recruits identify, that's an interesting word, how a recruit identify should be verified when the recruit identifies as a sex other than their biological sex. So evidently there's another block. Gender, male, identifies, female, unsure. I don't know how many blocks you have in there. The guidance directs applicants to wear men's underwear if male genitalia has not been removed, even if the applicant identifies as female. It also still requires a pregnancy test and female undergarments for applicants who identify as male but retain female anatomy. Oh, okay. I don't mean to laugh, but that shit gets complicated. Any applicant who has undergone sex reassignment surgery will need to show 18 months of stability prior to entering the military. A new applicant who identifies as transgender but also not undertaken any legal or medical steps to identify as their identified gender will be assigned a date to return to come back after they have spent 18 months in their preferred gender, according to the memo. DOD trying to sort through. What we've been learning about the last couple of weeks, which is a pretty complicated policy. Transgender is not simply people that are seeking sexual reassignment surgery. It is a whole spectrum of people that don't line up in their brain and in their body. That's out of alignment, I guess would be the best way I could articulate that to you. We'll take a break. More of Almond Radio coming up next. We'll check the top five in the early bird. And then what we'll do is we're going to Tom Drowdy, who you've heard repeatedly, alluded to going back and addressing his high school at Bishop McNamara High School. You're going to hear his remarks to high school students. So I thought you'd find it interesting. Somebody who, I love doing this. I love, people we know and hang out with. I think it's kind of cool. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back, finish checking out news headlines. You'll hear Tom Drowdy as we continue here on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military, for a first responder, for a hunter, for an outdoorsman, or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. Battlemug.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Once again, with candy canes and silver lanes aglow, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Dolls that will talk and will go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Have you heard the stories that Bing Crosby was like a total jackass? Yeah, his kids. According to his kids. Yeah, he's just mean son of a bitch, I guess. Yeah, I'll give you another one. Joe DiMaggio. Total jackass.
And the thing that'll make him ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart.
Anyway, we continue. People that aren't supposed to be jackasses and are. I mean, there's an interesting, the public's perception of them is one thing, and their own personal, But their own personal behavior is not so much like that. So I always find that pretty interesting. Joe DiMaggio is just a miserable human being, And he was a coach for the Oakland A's when my dad was. And so the pitching coach, who is, I used to call my Uncle Bill, he was a minor league pitching coach for the Oakland A's when my dad was in the minor leagues, and then got promoted to be with the big team, I think the year before my dad got there. So Bill Posdell grew up in the Bay Area, as did DiMaggio. So DiMaggio doesn't like to drive. So DiMaggio, the only year he ever coached was in 1968 for the Oakland A's. That's the only year he ever participated in any kind of coaching or anything like that. So he's got the locker, like, there's his locker, an empty locker that he kept other stuff in because he was a big shot. And then my dad's locker, my dad's first year in the big leagues. And I'm 10 years old, 11. Yeah, I was turning 11. So you know, I meet Joe DiMaggio, and I go down to work with my dad. There's Joe DiMaggio. So anyway, the pitching coach gets the job of you're going to pick up DiMaggio because he doesn't like to drive. And the guy who owned the Oakland A's, you know, came up with this whole idea. DiMaggio is going to be the hitting coach. My dad Cedar was a horrible hitting coach. He just, like, went out and did it. And he didn't want to talk to half the guys because he didn't think they were any good. Yeah, that's your hitting coach. So it was, you know, it was pretty much a publicity stunt. You know, get publicity for the new Oakland franchise as it comes to the Bay Area, making a big splash, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so Postel has to go pick up DiMaggio every day that they're at home and bring him to the stadium. And he said the guy never spoke to me once in the car. He got in the car and he sat there, never said a word. So somebody's going to come and give you a ride to work and you don't say, hey, what's going on? Nothing. Amazing. Yeah. Mr. Coffee. Just a miserable human being. All right. Early bird. As we continue, Tom Drouty here in a couple minutes. Top story in Early Bird is about the Marine Corps. This is from a site called C4ISRNet. Number one, how the Marines are mobilizing forces for information warfare. The whole issue of irregular warfare is a big deal. How do we do it? How do you get your hands around it? And that's all we've done. That's all we've done. So you know the next conflict's going to be peer-to-peer stuff, right? The Marine Corps is making a fundamental shift to a better posture itself and organized in the emerging information environment. While the service recently established a new deputy commandant for information, a 3-star position that oversees all aspects of information warfare, the Marines also recently created a new Marine Expeditionary Force Information Group, or MIG, at all 3 MEFs. Marine Corps leaders say the expansion of internet and wireless communications, as well as the influence of social media, have changed how enemies use information. It also changed how the Marine Corps fights in that environment. Quote, the MEF Information Group may not sound like a lot, but it's really changing how we're going to be operating in that domain, said Lieutenant General Robert Walsh, commanding general at the Marine Corps Combat Developmental Command. While these organizations are standing up, they'll participate in a series of exercises and information and exercises and assessments to best determine how they'll be structured and what capabilities will reside at what information level. Now, so it's going to be interesting. There used to be a thing called, well, obviously OPSO of it, MEF Headquarters Group. Okay, in that was Intel Battalion, Radio Battalion, 9th or Communications Battalions. All right, and that's predominantly, you know, what we're talking about. And so we'll see how those things are reorganized. I just want to see if they give the composition. Group equals, just for everybody, group equals regiment. Okay. According to the document, MIG subordinate commands will be made up of units and capability sets to include intelligence dissemination, right, read Intel Battalion, counterintelligence, right, read Radio Battalion, signals intelligence, Radio Battalion, cyber command, right, which is cyber guys, electronic warfare, communications, command and control of information. So, yeah, a lot of what used to be in the MEF headquarters group migrates to the MEF information group. For the most part, the MIGs are a transitional period for the MEF headquarters groups. Listen to this. I should have wrote this. As they seek to execute the concept, according to a Marine Corps spokesman, whereas the MEF headquarters groups were administrative commands for units under MEF command element, the MIGs are going to be operational commands meant to deploy capabilities. So we'll see how all this shakes out. So anyway, Marine Corps reconfiguring itself, shuffling the deck a little bit, if you will, and then adding additional capabilities like cyber to it in order to deal with, again, irregular fight and even conventional fights, because all these elements will be present in conventional fights as well. Second story in the early bird, U.S. troops to remain in Iraq and Syria. That comes out of Military Times. We talked about that. But again, I think the reason that that headline is not a headline for just about everybody today is everybody going, yeah, why? Because nobody's getting killed. Nobody cares if there's where troops are as long as nobody's getting killed. And to the credit of the chairman, SecDef, they were able to engineer a fight in which the United States, a fight that could be effective, devastatingly effective, yet did not cost American lives. So much love to them for that. Number three story is the one we talked about earlier, and that is transgender recruits now have official DODs concerning their underwear. Now, it's a stupid headline designed to be clickbait, because the policy addresses, you know, how the United States military is respectful of somebody's gender dysphoria. And so, I would tell you that I would say it's demeaning to transgender people for whoever the hell wrote that headline. I'm sure they don't think it is, but it makes, you know, again, transgender people, makes them clowns, some kind of farce or some kind of joke. At least that's my opinion of it. Number four story in the early bird is how the new tax laws will affect military families. Number five, the B-1B air crews preparing to return to the Middle East. Love that. See if there's any other Marine stories. There is not. Marine Corps out of the news right now. All right. We'll take one more quick break, and then Tom Droughty's going to let me. I'm going to tee that up, and you'll hear Tom Droughty talking to his old high school. Yeah. And pretty cool. So more of All Marine Radio coming up next as we move into the Christmas season. We're already there. You got three in a wake up to get your gift buying done. I haven't started mine. Don't feel bad.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled machine anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.